You are listening to a message from All People's Church in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
It's about the cross, Christ.
I've never found another one that took my place.
Don't manage with fear. Realize it's a threat.
At All People's Church, we're all about loving God, strengthening families, and developing leaders. If you would like to hear more sermons or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email to info@allpeopleschurch.ca.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Leviticus 25 and verse 10. Leviticus 25 and verse 10. Pastor Tony's already touched on this scripture in the last couple of Sundays, and I'm going to start there. It says, "Set this year apart as holy, a time to proclaim freedom throughout the land for all who live there. It will be a jubilee year for you when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors and return to your own clan." Says it will be a jubilee year for you when each of you may return to the land that belonged to your ancestors. The Bible also says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it talks about this idea of how Jesus has come, and he has come to bring jubilee for all who believe in him. So just as a reminder, the idea of jubilee is that on the 50th year, the Israelites would be free from their debt. If they had lost their lands because of debt, their lands would be returned to them in the year of jubilee. So it was basically freedom and liberty for the people of Israel when the jubilee year came around. That the Bible says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Somebody say, "The Spirit of the Lord." See, my friends, it is always the Spirit of the Lord that brings the power of God. It is the Spirit of the Lord that's the Spirit of Jubilee. It's the Spirit of the Lord that brings freedom. It's the Spirit of the Lord that brings healing. It's the Spirit of the Lord that brings deliverance. That's what the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... Come on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... There is freedom, there is liberty. And so Jesus now, he's in the synagogue, he's reading from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 61 to be specific, and he pulls up this scripture and he begins to read, and it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." So Jesus is saying, listen, I've come to announce to you the time of jubilee, the time of liberty, the time of forgiveness of sins, the time when broken hearts are mended again, the time when the sick are going to be healed, the blind are going to see again. It's the time of jubilee. In fact, the next sentence actually says, "And to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." This is why Jesus came. This was the whole purpose of his coming, was that jubilee would not just be for the Israelites, would not just be once in every 50 years, but it would be forever. That everybody that believed in Jesus would have jubilee. I want to talk to you this morning that Jesus is my jubilee. Jesus is my jubilee. Leviticus 25:10 and Isaiah 61:1. The word used there for liberty, proclaim liberty, is the same word, deror, and it means freedom, liberty, pure, free run. And so this idea that what's happening here is Jesus is taking what was happening in the Old Testament, where at jubilee people would be set free, and he's bringing that in the New Testament, and he's saying, listen, in me you're going to find your freedom. In me you're going to find your healing. In me you're going to find the ability for you to have a relationship with God. Luke 4:18, acceptable year, dektos in Greek, says, denotes the most blessed time when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Salvation and the free favor of God is found in Jesus. Now I'm going to read for you from Mark chapter 2. This is where we're going to park for a bit here. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, "What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk?" Verse 10, "So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." Yeah. And the man jumped up. I like that. The man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked. Lost my scripture there. Okay, let me find it here now. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. Everywhere Jesus shows up and declares jubilee, people are stunned. They're like, there is no way this should happen. This person should not be experiencing what he or she is experiencing. But you see, my friend, when Jesus shows up, it's always beyond human logic and beyond human rationale and beyond human ability. That's why we serve a mighty God. That's why we serve the King of Kings, as we sang today. Amen. And so they were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before." Eyes closed, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I thank you that your word has power. I pray, Lord, that we would not just be words, Lord, that we hear today, but there will be revelation knowledge that would flow in this room. I pray that your word would become alive in us. Lord, I pray that it will bear fruit within us. Lord, that as your word goes into our hearts, that lives will be set free, sicknesses would be healed. Lord, that transformation would happen in the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus, we come against every spirit of witchcraft and confusion, every spirit of unbelief and doubt. We bind it right now. Holy Spirit, have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, see, talking about this connection between Jubilee and Jesus, this is interesting. Jesus ushered in the Sabbath of God. Pastor Tony talked about this idea of rest. Jesus ushered in rest from trying to work to please God. You know, it's funny, if you look at in Genesis, God worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. When you come into the New Testament in the book of Matthew, the first chapter of Matthew talks about the genealogy of Jesus, the lineage of Jesus. And here's what's interesting. In Matthew, God revealed himself for 6 sets of 7 generations. 6 sets of 7 generations. And then God appears in Jesus as the beginning of the seventh. So in Genesis, God is working for 6 days and resting on the seventh. In Matthew, God says, for 6 sets of 7 generations, I've appeared to you, I've spoken to you, I've revealed myself to you. Now in the seventh, I've come myself. Jesus was coming now because it's the season for Jubilee. He was announcing, he was introducing, he was saying, listen, it's Jubilee time. Yes, God's spoken in the past, but now God himself is with us. See, my friends, here's what I want you to know this morning. Jesus is your Jubilee. It's not that you heard about it. It's not that someone's talking about it. It's not that it's outside of you. He's actually inside of you. It's in him. When you receive him, you receive Jubilee. When you receive him, you receive freedom. When you receive him, you receive healing. You don't have to work on the outside to make it happen. It is in him. And that brings us to Mark chapter 2. I love this passage of scripture. Watch it again. Let's read it together. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home, and soon the house where he was staying. See, my friend, what matters is where Jesus is staying. What matters is the presence of Jesus. If the presence of Jesus is in a place, that's where the power of God will be revealed. The question is not if you hear the word of God. The question is, does the word of God live in you? The question is not if you know Jesus. The question is, does Jesus live in you? Do you have an encounter, an experience, a living relationship with Jesus Christ? All of our preaching, all of our singing, all of the stuff we do that is religious means absolutely nothing if Jesus is not in your house. If Jesus is not in your heart, if Jesus is not the center of your life. And the Bible says when Jesus was in the house, word quickly spread. See, every time Jesus is in a place, word will spread. People will look. People will notice. They'll say, man, something is different about you. There's something special about you. The way you are, the way you talk, the way you carry yourself, the way you communicate, there's something different about you from everybody else. The way you can be compassionate, the way you can forgive, the way you believe for the impossible, the way you, even when everything's against you, you still are positive when you come to work. You still believe that things will work out for you. Why? Because Jubilee is in you. Jesus is in you, and you are a walking miracle wherever you go. I love what God said to Joshua, everywhere that you put your foot, it belongs to you. See, when you have Jesus in you, you're not begging him to do something for you. You're walking with him into the circumstances of your life. There's always going to be something different, something special, something that sets you apart. I was telling the first service, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had a phone call, a random phone call with a person who wanted to talk about something. It was more really business related. And so I ended up on the phone for about an hour with this, initially with a salesperson and then the owner of this company. And at the end of that call, he said to me, he says, you know what? I've never had anyone talk to me on the phone like you've talked to me on the phone. He says, I want to buy you lunch. Can I buy you lunch and meet with you and hear about more about your story? I said, are you? I said, you're joking. He says, no. He says, I want to come. And so the other day, he actually came. He drove 45 minutes. He booked this lunch meeting. He paid for lunch. Thank you, Jubilee people. Come on now. When I get a free lunch, I take it. Thank you, Jesus. And he paid for lunch. And he sat there, and I shared my whole story. He's not a Christian. I shared my whole story, everything about what Jesus did for me and who Jesus is and why we believe in Jesus and why he ought to believe in Jesus. Come on now. From a simple phone call. Never met me, never seen the man. He says, there's something about you. People should be saying, there's something about you at work. There's something about you when you go to Tim Horton. There's something about you in your neighborhood when you're just mowing the lawn in the summer. Somebody says, man, I want to get to know you. I want to come over to your house. I want you to come over to my house. I want to get to know you because you are different. Come on, somebody. It's in you. It's in you. Jubilee is in you. When Jesus is in you, news spreads. Quickly. News spreads quickly. And the Bible says, and so soon the house where they were staying was packed with visitors. Do you have any visitors in your life? Or are the only people that you hang out with the people you know? How many new people are around you? How many people are you attracting? How many people are coming around you that you didn't really know? Maybe acquaintance, but they say, you know what, I want to get to know you better. Everywhere Jesus went, visitors were around him. Interesting. And so the Bible says there was no more room even outside the door. And while he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man. You know what I like about this whole idea? This is why I picked the scripture, because there's something about the idea that Jesus is right there, but he's beyond reach. He's right there, but he's beyond reach. He's right in the house. He's right beyond the wall. He's right through the door. He's right there, but he's beyond reach. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you said, God, I know you're right there, but it's like I can't touch you. I know you're right there, but I can't see you. I know you're right there, but my prayers are not being answered. I know you're right there. I know it. I know it. I know you're there, but somehow I don't have an encounter with you. And there's times in our lives when we face this moment, we know God. We know he's real. We know he's true. We know he does miracles. We've experienced it in the past, but in this particular moment, he is so close and yet too far. He's so close, but yet too far. And so the Bible says the crowd had packed in this house and they couldn't get in. And I wonder to myself, why? Why? I mean, if someone was in a stretcher and I was standing at the door and they tapped my shoulder, they said, hey, brother, can I go in? I don't know. I'd just make some room. You know, I just sort of move to the side. I'd make some room for the stretcher to get into the house. And so I was reading up on this in Luke chapter 5. I want you to listen to this. Luke 5:17. Now it happened on a certain day, same story. Different perspective. Now, it happened on a certain day, he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power, the Bible is so clear. The Bible says healing was in the room. Healing was in the room, but the sick couldn't get in because the house was filled with Pharisees and teachers of the law. In other words, there's two kinds of people in the house. One kind of person said the scribe, the teacher of the law, was the one that was educated in the Torah. He was the one that had knowledge and wisdom and experience and understanding in God's word in every minute detail. In fact, these were the guys, they say, that actually taught in the schools of their time. They were the ones that had knowledge and information. You asked them for a scripture, they could quote it for you. And so the scribes were in the room, and I imagine if they tapped the scribe, the scribe said, hey, how much do you know? How much information do you have? How much have you learned? How much have you memorized? And then there's the Pharisees. The Pharisees were considered separatists. They were the ones that considered themselves holier than everybody else because they followed, or so they said, every minute detail of the law. They did everything they could to make themselves look like they were better than everybody else. So one kind of person says information is important. Knowledge is important. How much do you know? The other kind of person says, how are you living? What have you done? How have you lived in the past? What was your life like? What were your actions like? Probably there was a reason for you being in this situation, in this condition. But friends, they didn't understand Jubilee. See, in Jubilee, it's not about what you've done or what you know. It's about God saying, my year of favor is upon you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me put it this way. See, if I went into debt, back in those days, I went into debt. And eventually, for whatever reason, I had to sell my land to recoup money so I could pay back my debtor. Or if I couldn't pay it back and they came and took my land from me, it legally is theirs because I own them. In the year of Jubilee, you could go back to the person that took your land and not request, not submit an application, not say, I hope you can find it in your heart to have mercy on me. Mm-mm. You can go in and you can demand. You can knock on the door and say, hey, Mr. Moses, I know my land belongs to you because I owe you money. And I know all these years you've had access and ownership of my land. But I don't know if you noticed, but yesterday the calendar changed. And today, as of today, it's the year of Jubilee. So I've come to ask you for my land back. Now, Moses can say, well, wait a minute, you haven't paid me back yet. You still owe me more money. I don't know how you can do that. I get it. You're right. In every sense, logically, rational, it makes sense. I am your debtor. But because it's the year of Jubilee, my debts have been forgiven. And I'm coming back. I'm coming in to take what belongs to me. Come on, somebody. That's Jubilee. It doesn't make sense. I get it. That's why the gospel is good news. Yes, sinners ought to be punished. You and I deserve punishment. We deserve being rejected from God and spending eternity away from God. But Jesus, our Jubilee, says, if you call upon my name, come on now. Come on now. The enemy says you belong to me. The enemy says I own you. The enemy says your sin has made you a debtor to me. But Jesus says, I'm here. I love it in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible talks about how he made a public display of the enemy, of powers and principalities, and he nailed the judgments against us on the cross. Meaning this, everything that was said about you, every judgment passed against you has been canceled. Wow. Everything that you were supposed to pay, It is, you're supposed to pay. You are a debtor. But it's been forgiven. In Jesus. See, this passage is such a beautiful example of Jubilee. And I love what they did. They couldn't get to him. So they climbed up on the roof. And they begin to pull out those tiles from the roof. And they brought him right into the presence of Jesus. Sometimes you have to
bypass some people in your life. Sometimes you have to circumvent some people that say, hey, that can't happen to you. Do you know who you are? Do you know where you've been? Do you know what you've done? Do you understand? You don't qualify. But sometimes you got to climb up on some roof and you've got to get into the presence of Jesus. Sometimes you've got to bypass the other people around you. Maybe you got to bypass the worship team. You got to bypass the preacher. You got to bypass the person sitting next to you who says, I know what you've done. I know where you've been. I know what your past is. And you've got to say, you know what? I've got to get around you and into the presence of Jesus. If I can make it into the presence of Jesus, it's going to be all right. Too many people leave at the door because they say, you know what? You're right. I owe so much. I was on the first service, you know, if it was me and my human nature, I'd be like, you know what? I actually owe $100,000. My land is only worth $50,000. Moses has taken my land. Brother Moses has taken my land. I want to stay out of his sight for the rest of my life. Because, man, if I ever come across Brother Moses, he may ask me for the other $50,000. So I'm going to just live in obscurity, in secrecy, in darkness, in hiding, because I don't want to get out there and be called to pay for more or be called out on my debt. You know how many Christians live their life that way? They live in hiding. They live in secrecy. They live in obscurity because they're so conscious of who they are and where they've been and what they've done. I came to let you know, in Jubilee, you can demand what belongs to you, and nobody can remind you of your past, because in Jesus, your past has been forgiven. It's gone. It's over. You can have access into the presence of Jesus. The Bible says, I want to show you this. Number one, freedom from sin. The first thing Jesus does when he sees this man is he forgives him of his sin. Romans 8:2 says, and because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit. There it is again. The Spirit of God is the Spirit that gives life, has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Friends, I want you to know, in Jesus, you have jubilee in the area of your sin. You are free from the consequence of sin. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture declares that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing. Somebody say believing. Not by what you do. Not by the works of your hands, but by faith in Jesus Christ alone. That is the message of the gospel. But let me tell you something. I don't care how sophisticated, how well put together you look on the outside. The truth is this. The human heart is constantly in the grip of sin. When you look at our culture, you look at our world, you know, the whole Me Too movement and the whole thing that's going on with all these precious people that have been abused. But, and these are not some, you know, shady, you know, living in the shadow kind of criminals who've done this. No, these are the brightest and the best of our world. These are the people that have all the money in the world. They have all the fame in the world. They have all the political power in the world. They should be the pinnacle of what human beings ought to achieve and accomplish and the success we ought to have. And yet, they tell us from the stories behind closed doors, people are different. You know, one of the challenges of these individuals that are coming out with their stories is that it's so hard for them to come out because they feel no one will believe them, because what these people, their abusers, what they are like behind closed doors is so different from what they are like in front of the world. It is possible to be well put together. It's possible to be successful. It is possible to be sophisticated. It is possible to come across as somebody that has it all together and lives a certain lifestyle and still live a double life. Live in sin in the secrecy of your heart and your mind and your private places of your life. Jesus says, I can set you free. Number two, freedom from sickness. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. Listen, by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, you are healed. In Jesus, healing belongs to you. That's why the Bible says, he said to the man, listen, get up, pick up your mat and walk. In Jubilee, you can be free from sickness. Mark 5:34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. That's from when the woman with the issue of blood came and touched the hem of his garment, if you know that story. Powerful, because Jesus says to her, listen, because you applied your faith, your sickness has been removed. You know, one of the scriptures that I love is where the Bible talks about a multitude of people coming around Jesus, and it says, as many as touched him were made whole. And not that God doesn't want to touch people, but I like the fact that people could initiate the touch and Jesus would respond to their faith and make them whole. I want you to know today that there's pain in your body, there's suffering in your body, there's sickness in your life. It could be physical, it could be mental, it could be emotional. I want you to know that in Jubilee, Jesus heals all sickness. Luke 13, 15 to 16. The Lord replied, you hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? The Bible says this, and I love this scripture. In 1 John 3:8, it says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. In Jubilee, God says, listen, I'm going to break the bondage of sin and Satan over your life. This woman had been suffering for 18 years, as we just read. And she was in that synagogue, and she'd been in church for all that time, but without the presence of God there. But when Jubilee came, when Jesus walked into the room, the Bible tells us that the one who had been in bondage of Satan was freed instantly. Yes, she was sick. Yes, she was bent over. But the reason she was bent over was because of the bondage of Satan. Listen, friend, I tell you what, if there is strongholds in your life today, if there is strongholds of sin, if there's strongholds of habitual sin, if there's strongholds of tormenting thoughts in your mind, maybe it's depression, maybe it's suicide. I don't know what it is, but I want you to know, Jesus wants to set you free. That's Jubilee. In Jubilee, captives are set free. Number four, freedom to set free. Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. My last point is this. In Jubilee, you become a conduit, a channel for God's freedom to touch the lives of people. I thought about this for a moment. I said, on the year of Jubilee, guess what happens? If you owned a slave, you become the person who sets that slave free. If you had somebody else's land, you become the one that returns the land and frees them from poverty. See, my friend, when you come into Jubilee, here's what happens. Everybody you touch experiences freedom. Everybody you encounter experiences freedom. Your faith, you know, interesting, when you go back to Mark chapter 2, you know what it says about how Jesus healed this person? It says, when Jesus saw, listen, their faith, plural, not singular, not the person's faith alone, I'm sure he had faith, but their faith, meaning the faith of his friends healed the paralyzed man. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time your faith healed somebody? When was the last time your faith saved somebody? When was the last time your faith came into play when somebody else did not have faith? And your faith pulled them through. See, in Jubilee, my friend, your faith, our Jesus that lives within us begins to set people free. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Freely you've received, freely give. You've been a recipient of my Jubilee, of my freedom. I want you to proclaim freedom over the lives of people all around you. So worship team comes up. I want to read the scripture for you. So powerful. Talks about this idea of setting people free. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. See, my friend, John says, I want you to understand who we're talking about in Jubilee. We are talking about the one who existed right from the beginning. That's why in Colossians chapter 2, chapter 1, the Bible says, he created all things, and by him all things exist. In Jesus, he is the firstborn over all creation. We're talking about the one who has no beginning, the one who was from the beginning. 1 John 1, listen to this. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. I love what it says. He's saying it is not that eternal life comes from him, or that he can bring you eternal life, or he will take you into eternal life. It says he is eternal life. So often we come to Jesus, to go through Jesus, to get what we really want. But this morning, I'm speaking to you by the Spirit of God and saying to you that the destination and the means are one. Jesus is not the means to healing, he is healing. He is not just the means to forgiveness and right standing with God, he is right standing with God. He is not the one you go to so you can get to the destination of freedom. He is freedom. John says, I need you to understand this. It is in him that we found eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John is saying, what really matters at the end of the day is who you are in fellowship with, who you are in relationship with. He says, the reason I'm writing to you, the reason I'm communicating everything Jesus did, everything Jesus said, all the miracles he accomplished, all the people he fed, all the words he spoke, he says, all of that is to get you to the destination of being in relationship with Jesus. He says, that's who it's all about. We find everything we need in Christ. He is Jubilee.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this message. If you'd like to hear more messages or want more information on All People's Church, visit our website at allpeopleschurch.ca or send us an email at info@allpeopleschurch.ca.